We're so late.
All right.
Welcome to.
Oh!
Welcome to episode. All right. Cut it out with the grunting. Here we go.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 64. Now this is the kind of night it's going to be. Welcome to episode 64 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am an abbreviation, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am the monster that sleeps under your bed.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I will pardon your turkey.
Is that what we're doing now? We're allowing Canada to pardon our turkeys.
Yeah, what authority does Canada have to pardon our turkey?
Because they are America's hat.
My turkey is going to get executed whether you like it or not. It's going to be eaten tomorrow for American Thanksgiving. Whack! It's, yeah. But not while it's frozen or it might explode and kill you.
Right, so you have to let it properly thaw.
Right.
Very important American Thanksgiving education.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah.
America.
So, Jason.
Yes, Hunter.
You live in Canada. You are from Canada.
Yes.
Born and raised.
Yes.
What does Thanksgiving mean to you?
Oh.
Jack shit.
Nice. Very nice.
Wow, okay.
Well, no, because I'm curious now, because, like, what is the story for Canadian Thanksgiving? Like, you know, was it all about the, you know, the French coming to Canada and founding Canada?
It's basically, oh, God. I don't even know. It's just one of those things. We put in no way as much effort into our Thanksgiving as you guys seem to. We don't have parades. We don't have big football events. We don't have shopping events based around it. It's just Thanksgiving. It's just a time we went and we slaughtered a bunch of natives and killed them with diseases. And as the polite Canadians we are, we don't like to rub it in their faces.
Right, of course.
What is Boxing Day?
You guys don't have Boxing Day? Is that on a thing there?
We do not have Boxing Day.
No, it's a huge thing.
Oh, yeah. Life. Huge! We have so many boxes, and we box each other, you know.
With the boxes.
We strap the boxes on our fists, and, you know.
On the day.
Huh. Boxing Day is, it's the day after Christmas, so December 26th.
Okay.
And it's essentially, there are tons of sales that day.
So it that's almost your Black Friday.
Well, yeah, but we've
adopted. Oh, okay.
No, we've adopted Black Friday now as well.
It's Black. Oh, what? You can't adopt our Black Friday. This means war, Canada.
I do not want to wage war with Canada. That's
we do share a landmass. That would be a pretty bad. They have polar bears and Mounties. The Mounties probably ride the polar bears. We're screwed.
It's true.
Just not in the mood to shake everybody's hand and apologize. I can't do it. Like, I don't like being touched to begin with. And if I have to shake hands with, what's your population? Like 1.2 billion, I think it is, something like that. Like, that's a lot of hands to shake. I don't even think I can say apologies that many times. Within the span of a couple of days.
Sorry for the old invasion.
Yeah, and I don't want to meet anybody at Tim Hortons. Like, that's not my thing. Like, I don't go there. That's not my coffee shop.
It's not your coffee shop. It's the coffee shop.
No, I understand that. That's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm in Canada and I'm shaking hands and apologizing, people are going to ask me to go to Tim Hortons for, like, you know, jelly donuts and, like, coffee and stuff.
We will have a double-double and a honey cruller.
So, have you guys played any old video games lately?
Yes.
Yes.
Anybody, for the love of all things.
What have you played, Bailey?
I have had an odd habit this week of thinking, boy, this sounds like fun, and I'll start up a game for 5 minutes and quit. I thought, oh, I'll Crystalis, or, you know, RBI Baseball, I'll get some practice in. Or the other night I was playing Rally Bike. Rally Bike's okay. It's like an overhead Excite Bike. It's like Spy Hunter, but it's not as good as Spy. I don't know.
Can Rally I ask you bike. A personal question?
Always.
That's not what I was expecting, but anyway.
So. Never
Do you feel like you're at that point where you need to upgrade into the games that you're playing? Let's be honest. I mean, I love the NES. I am 4 games away in my collection from having 200 NES games.
Nice.
Very exciting. It's a very exciting time for me. You should be me right now. It's a very exciting. But from the NES games that I have played, like on the random that I'll just pick up because they're cheap or whatever it is, like they fall into that same kind of, oh, this is an NES game mm-hmm. category. Like, it's not Super Mario Brothers 3. It's not Legend of Zelda, you know. And frankly, I've been playing Rygar. Not bad. It's a fun game.
Yeah.
But there's so many games out there that are, just to kind of dumb it down, they're subpar when it comes to the NES, and you long for something that's on, like, let's say the Super NES or the Genesis or the TurboGrafx-16. Like, do you feel like you're getting to that point where it's time to move on from the NES console?
Here is my answer for you. The NES, by genre, is similar to the same phenomenon I've heard from certain reality shows like American Pickers or certain shows where it's the same format every week. So once you're 4 seasons into it, you kind of have a feel for what's going to happen every episode. You get a fatigue that sets in. I am experiencing a little bit of that. However, I will say that although I would be more excited to, say, dive into one of my Wii games I haven't really dug into yet, I also just have a general fear of commitment because for the past couple months I haven't really played any games on any real level, and I'm still hesitant to really sink my teeth into one because I don't like doing anything halfway. If I start something, I want to stick to it and see it through and play it an hour or two every night, kind of, you know? And even with, I don't know, like, some of the Wii games, it doesn't really matter. There's still some NES games I'd love to play on. I'm just not ready yet. This week I'm discovering that. I'm not there yet. Maybe that didn't make any sense, but that's where I'm at.
Well, give me a top 3 of the games that you're really wanting to play for the NES.
For the NES, Zelda 2 is number 1.
You don't own Zelda 2?
I know, I own it. I've owned it since I was a kid, but I never beat it.
Oh, okay.
So there's a confession for you. Never beat Zelda 2. I'm not even sure how far I got in it. Like, I don't know, because I remember doing some of the dungeon/castles and figuring out, like, some of the mysteries. So I don't, I'm getting some of the spells, but I, yeah, so that's one. For the Wii, I want to get farther in Donkey Kong Country Returns. I'm at the third and a half world on that. I want to get back into that. Otherwise, the other NES stuff is just games I want to get a higher score on. I'm still looking for that. So, RBI Baseball, Marble Madness, Super Sprint, stuff like that.
It's kind of a sad story.
That's me. I'm here to ruin your day.
Eric Bailey, kind of a sad story.
Eric Bailey, kind of a downer. Kind of a downer Don. Downer Danny. No, I don't think it's that sad. I still like video games and playing them. What was so sad about that?
No, I mean nothing. I mean, playing through Adventures of Link is amazing.
I've already done that. I don't, it was amazing, but
you just said you didn't play through it.
Zelda 2 on NES, not Adventures. Oh, Adventures Link is Zelda 2. I thought you said Link to the Past. I heard misheard you. Then I realized I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yep. My bad.
It's gonna be one of those episodes.
Nobody's paying attention.
As long as we get to say that every 2 minutes, it's gonna be one of those episodes. Well, I don't feel sad. I didn't realize.
Do you need me to fly down and hug you?
Do you want a high five over the internet?
Sure.
High five.
Good job, guys.
Super weird. What have you been playing, Hunter?
I actually picked up a game that I've probably been looking for the past 4 years. Mm. I had played the demo, and I was super intrigued, and I had not been able to find the full version of the game for anything less than $20, and that's... It depends on the mood that I'm in. I mean, $20 for a game doesn't seem like a lot, but... You know, if you're thinking, okay, it's at the end of the month, I got a lot of bills I got to pay, $20 is a little bit too much. So, anyway, I was able to pick up the Kiss Psycho Circus, A Nightmare Child,
for
the Sega Dreamcast. And I only played it for maybe 20 minutes or so. And it's one of those games, it's a first-person shooter. It actually takes place... involving Todd McFarlane's comic book series, Kiss Psycho Circus. So it's not like... So Kiss, the band, is involved, and
yeah,
music is there, but it's more based off of the comic book series, which, if anybody knows Todd McFarlane and, let's say, Spawn, it's super realistic, and it's super creepy and very out there. A lot of the game reminds me of Half-Life and Half-Life 2, just... The way that enemies are designed and the way that the level is designed. One of the things that I'm dealing with right now is just the fact of playing a first-person shooter with the Dreamcast controller, because it falls into the same kind of conundrum that the N64 controller is, because you don't have the dual analog sticks. You have the one stick and then the C buttons to move around, and it's a little... Maybe it's just because I'm so used to playing... first-person shooters either with a mouse and a keyboard, you're welcome, Jason, or a dual-stick analog controller, that it either feels like it's too touchy, or it's not touchy enough.
Yeah, you have to really like strafing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, but the story is intriguing enough to kind of keep me going, because it's a really weird mix of, let's take a band that's uber popular, put them in a sort of medieval sub-time, and give them very weird alien-like crawling demons to fight.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah, so it's a little bit weird, but I highly recommend it just for stylization by itself. Like, I think it was one of those games that obviously missed the cuff, but it has a lot of really cool features and gaming aspects that you see in modern gaming today when it comes to, like, horror games and that kind of thing. So
who knows how influential it really was?
Probably wasn't that influential.
Yeah, probably not.
It was probably just a couple of guys are like, hey, I got some crazy ideas, let's do this. Yeah, nobody's gonna play this game, who cares, like, let's go for it. And now you see him in, like, Half-Life and Resident Evil, and so I don't know.
Is it just me, and it might be, but is it just me, or did the Dreamcast have a strangely abundant number of musical-themed games? Like, music is a big thinger.
There were a handful of games, that, at least that I can think of off the top of my head, that the main gameplay was... what's the word? It reacted to whatever music was playing. Is that what you mean? I'm going to go with no.
Not really, but it's close enough. That's good.
Well, I mean, you know, are you talking like Space Channel 5?
Right. I've heard you come up with that one. I've heard of at least one other one.
Yeah, stuff like that. That's where, like, music is part of the game, yeah. rather than just filling in background sound. Yeah.
Dreamcast seems to do that pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Yeah, I think it. One of the reasons was it was because they there weren't a lot of games out there at the time that was really big. Like, you had your DDR, you had your Parappa the Rapper, but, I mean, as a home console, being able to push that kind of thing onto a gamer to give them a new sense of, you know, this is what games can be. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I mean, music's big with everybody, so.
It's surprising we don't have more of those kind of experiences, really.
It was probably a flash in the pan kind of thing, if you ask me. Like, when DDR hit, like, that was huge. Yeah. You couldn't get away from DDR. And then there was a first-person shooter, kind of like R-type kind of game that came out, I want to say, for the Xbox that played on music. It actually created a level around the music. Oh, no, Jason's down. Jason is down!
I know the name. It's a really
Jason
weird
Jason is
game.
Down!
Jason! Save yourself! Jason!
But yeah, so, I mean, music's still a big part in games. There's actually a very cool indie game that's based off a Moby Jam where it's an RPG, but for the ability to attack, you have to hit the beats of the song that's playing in the background. So, I mean, music in games is still very important, but they're a subgenre now.
Huh.
It's not a mainstream thing.
So what's Jason been playing then?
I was playing, I went back to System Shock 2.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those games I want to beat and want to play, but I just can't seem to be getting into it.
What do you mean you can't get into it?
Like, I'll play it for a bit, and then I'll just kind of get bored.
Like, bored because it's not, like...
It's not... No, I'm not even sure. It's not a bad game. It's just very... I can't help but compare it to the Deus Ex and BioShock series.
See, Jason's going through it, too. Hunter's going to say you're sad and weepy.
I'm not going to do that.
The team that made... System Shock went on and made BioShock. But it's just...
You say that that's something to talk about.
Well, is that influence like so distracting it's tough to get over? Like it's hard not to notice?
No, not even. It's just... It's not a fast-paced game, but at the same time, it's not... Nothing's really prompting me to want to explore.
Oh, okay.
You're on the spaceship with these kind of weird zombie things. And I just end up getting bored.
Well, this kind of goes back to what I was... I don't know when it was a couple of weeks ago, when Bailey, I had mentioned to you that there was a really cool article in an old Nintendo Power magazine, like from 92 or something like that, where it was talking about reviewing games, and one of the most important aspects that it touched on was going back and playing a game that you had already reviewed, mm-hmm. now that you have these new bars... due to new games coming out. And a lot of the time, I think, just in general, and I think we all do it, actually, you know, reviewers don't remember that, you know, when this game was first released, whatever the game may be, it was probably groundbreaking. It was probably brand new technology and gameplay aspects that nobody's ever seen before. But now that so many other games have come out, and they have mirrored and mimicked these gameplay mechanics, and when you go back and play the original, it's like, wow, this was awful. Like, why would they think this was a good idea? And I can't even play through this. Like, I think System Shock 2 may be one of those games.
It may not affect how you would score it necessarily. For some people it would, but you have to consider context. It's important.
I agree.
I just find a lot of these, I want to say narrative-driven games, older narrative-driven games, suffer immensely as compared to arcade style. Like, I could go back and play Quake or Doom or
Joust.
Pac-Man.
Play that for a few minutes.
Play Joust. It's the game's always going to be the same. It's just the core gameplay. But when you put in this narrative, games have kind of expanded on how they tell a story.
Yeah, okay.
And we're doing it so much better now.
Right.
I'm on your frequency right now, Jason. I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah.
86.7.
Like when you're using outdated, now archaic gameplay mechanics to drive a story,
the story can be amazing, but we know how much better we can tell a story now that it doesn't age nearly as well as something that would be simpler.
Yeah, and that's, you know, going back, the game's still good for what it was then. It's just...
Sure.
It's a little tougher to appreciate it for what it was.
Yeah. And, yeah, especially when you have more competition. When you, why play System Shock 2 when you have... Maybe you haven't played Bioshock 2 yet. I don't know, just examples like that.
Yeah.
Golgo 13.
I've been waiting for you, Star Fox.
With some sadness, I have to announce...
What?
We do not have a listener email discussion question this week. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it.
But...
I am just going to remind our listeners to go ahead and send an email to podcast@onemorecastle.com with your question. Even if you've sent in 3 questions already, we still like questions. In the meantime,
we still like you.
We still like you too, dear listener. In the meantime, we have this one. This is, what are some dead video game franchises that you would like to see make a glorious comeback? And that is from Eric Bailey.
Who's Eric Bailey?
Some
dick.
So you have the one opportunity to express who you are, and you call yourself a dork.
I had to go with Jason's theme and say basically the same. Yeah, I did. I did, Hunter. I did. I was self-deprecative. Just wait until you hear what I say next time. Just wait. It's going to blow your mind.
Are we talking about new installments of a series or remakes?
This can be sequel or remake, as long as you want to see a new game be successful for a franchise that hasn't seen a game in a long time.
Gotcha.
No one lives forever.
Oh?
Have you...
I disagree if you're a robot.
Which we all know Hunter is, so no wonder he disagrees.
Well, he's just a series of clones.
Yes.
I'm bringing it back.
Okay.
He's going to sock piano it in there.
Oh, Jesus.
Damn. But yeah, no one lives forever.
Elaborate. Tell us more.
There was a series of almost 2 PC games that came out, and the first one was in 2000. I think the second one was 2002, 2003. First-person shooters. It was kind of a take on... the Austin Powers approach to James Bond. So it was an over-the-top funny homage to James Bond, except you're playing you play as this woman who's an agent for this group called Unity, and you're fighting against a group called Harm. It did a great job of, you could, especially with the second one, you could either go through the game guns blazing, or you could approach it stealth, so you can get through every level without even having a guard see you.
You could do either.
That's
cool.
It had upgradable skills, a bunch of over-the-top weapons, like you'd have lipstick bombs and stuff like that. You'd have like a robot dog that you could let go out of your purse and would walk up to a guard and blow up.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah,
that's an interesting idea.
It was made by Monolith before they went and did Fear. But now the rights are tied up in this weird, Monolith owns them,
man.
But Fox owns them, and someone else has a stake in it. So, no, they're really, really good.
Cool, yeah. Good one. Good pick. Hunter, any thoughts?
Yeah, I want to see this game remade, maybe. Or maybe just play the first iterations. Or, actually, I could go for another Phantasy Star game.
Oh, there's a good choice, too.
I mean, I'm a big fan of... I mean, I don't like a lot of RPGs. And there's a lot about Phantasy Star that I absolutely hate. Just downright want to burn something to the ground. Hate. But I like the idea of taking, and this is going to sound awful, but taking a Final Fantasy style, and rather than it being in, you know, Renaissance or medieval times, it's in the future, you know, because, you know, dealing with robots and stuff like that, that's more intriguing to me than the, like, a fantasy realm.
Yeah, medieval fantasy kind of.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been so long since the final, a Phantasy Star game that, I mean, it doesn't have to be online, it doesn't have to be, I mean, I honestly, right now, their best bet would probably be to go for, like, a handheld release, either, you know, like a 3DS or even a PS Vita, and just kind of what I would consider that would be testing the waters to see if anybody even is considering the series anymore. And if so, then the, you know, why not roll out a whole open world WoW kind of multi online universe.
That's a top shelf pick. I mean, the series has its fans. It has a legacy of great games. That's a shoe-in. Come on, Sega, get on it.
Yeah, quit making Sonic games. Jesus Christ!
Stop making really bad Sonic games.
I'm so tired of seeing.
You've perfected bad Sonic games. Move on.
Well, it's the same thing with Mario games. It's like, let it go, man. Mario, I get it.
The latest Mario game.
Doesn't matter, man. You could put anybody in that game, and it would still be a great game. You don't have to slap Mario's fat face all over it.
Yeah, but Mario makes it sell.
But why not make it Mario? That's
with the way that the indie game scene has become, like, I don't think names and brands from first parties is really that big of a deal anymore, unless if it's like...
It is for
Nintendo. I think it is for the target audience of the Wii U.
No, the target audience of the Wii U is the three of us. It's people who've been around since the 80s, playing video games from the ground up, and are looking for more an adult experience. That's what the Wii U is for.
Huh.
Everybody else is the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. Who bought one of those consoles out of this group? I rest my case.
I didn't buy a Wii U either, though.
I didn't, but it depends on how the new Zelda game looks.
I had to buy it. Bailey.
Feel free to make fun of me. Not that it usually stops you, but I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to let you think about it for a minute. Bayou Billy.
No.
No? Okay, well, I had two others in mind. First one is Captain Skyhawk.
Oh, that's a good choice.
We've had, like, dorky flight simulator series, but I want, like, a first-person dogfight, like a combat pilot experience. Like, can you imagine on today's, with the modern capability, why don't we have more first-person fighter pilot online multiplayer dogfight scenarios? I think that'd be a ton of fun. Have futuristic jet fighters that are capable of these rapid maneuvers and crazy firepower. And I mean, when you look at the original source material, it's very sci-fi, very futuristic, very interesting weapons and environments, in my opinion. Captain Skyhawk, man, that one's for you, Ocarina of Time. That one's for you and me.
That's a good choice. I mean, the last game that I can think of was Star Fox 64 that was like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why? I don't know. It just seems like an underused idea to me. The other one is purely for a comedic value. I don't actually like want this to happen, but I think it'd be hilarious if a new, brand new, high definition 3D Bubsy came out.
Oh, no.
That would be hilarious.
No.
No, that wouldn't.
Like he could pull a Conker, you know, have a bad fur day.
No, he couldn't.
Just go for, yeah, no, no.
The only way that game's going to be successful if you are killing Bubsy. That's the only way that game's going to work.
Sure, let's do it. Bubsy's head on a stake 64 for Xbox One.
Wait, hold on.
I'd read about it.
You've got me playing Bubsy now.
64 what, though? It's on the Xbox One, 64.
It's just a joke. It's just a joke.
It's 64
shades of
crap. Gigabytes. Everything is super high res.
And it's so big, the game is considered to be epic.
Yes, it's you got 4K textures and
I remember when they used to market games that way on the packaging, like the new like Street Fighter 2 Turbo was like a 36 megabit experience or something like that, like a 26 megabit
power.
Yeah, and they would put the megabits on the box for the cartridge. That was those were the days.
You got to do it with an Echo.
Sunday. Come see Megabit versus Gigabyte.
That'd be awesome.
You would say that, Jason. You would. You would think that was awesome.
Reboot, man. It's the best thing Canada's ever made.
Is that a Canadian show?
Oh, it's Canadian.
Oh, wow. I regret ever watching it on Saturday mornings. Oh,
man.
It makes me feel dirty.
We're really rocking this nationalism hard during Thanksgiving week.
American Thanksgiving week.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, sorry. So Canadians have their own Thanksgiving? That's so weird.
Yeah, it's in October.
Why bother?
Yeah, it's in October.
Yeah. We don't. That's the thing.
Okay. Touche.
So weird.
It celebrates the harvest. There we go. That's what Wikipedia says. About my holiday.
The harvest. That's a nice, safely generic description. Very.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wikipedia. Yeah.
Good work, Book of Knowledge. Did you write that article, Jason?
Maybe. I might change it.
Yeah.
Giving thanks to me.
Jason Lamb. Celebrating castles everywhere. To celebrate one more castle, there's a little website you can visit called Let's Take a Music Break. That was Start Havoc by And. There's a period after the And. A humble little chiptune track with some nice percussive elements, too. Speaking of percussive elements, too, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, this is the part of the show where each of us three co-hosts has chosen secretly a retro game. That was a grammatically awkward way to say that, but the point is, we each have 1 minute to reveal the game we've chosen, then we'll pretty much spend the rest of the podcast arguing about who picked the best game, in other words, me. But the best part is that you, the listener viewer, listener or viewer, gets to vote for your favorite of the three games on a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you, hopefully your vote, and hopefully you will leave a comment as well. Two episodes ago, And just as a reminder, every dozen episodes or so, the reason we do two episodes ahead is that you guys have lots of time to vote, because it usually takes a few days to upload, and if we did it 1 week ahead, you'd only have like 2 nights. The point is, 2 episodes ago, the theme was Games with Hunters, because it was just me and Jason. Hunter was not there. And the winner was me. But it was close! Turok Dinosaur Hunter barely beat out Cow Hunter. 9-7. That was...
How sad is that?
Why is everything I do sad? How is
No. I'm talking
sad.
About that your game barely
beat yes.
a okay, that's cow fair. Killing simulator. That's all I'm going to say. That,
cow hunting
cool.
simulator.
When you put it, you can't hunt it. We are not... We love the Retro Showdown. I can go into it all over again. It's always a good time. Tonight's theme... Because it is episode 64, we're going to do Nintendo 64 games. This should be a lot of fun. The Nintendo 64 is actually my favorite console ever. Don't tell anyone I said that, but it is. It just has the best library pound for pound of any console in gaming history. So, Jason is our official timekeeper. When you have 1 minute ready for me, I'm ready to go.
All right, you may begin.
Mario 64.
You son of a bitch.
Goes to medical school for 8 years and becomes Dr. Mario 64. Released in 2001 by Nintendo. It takes the proven puzzle game formula of Dr. Mario and updates it for a new generation. It adds many more enhanced single-player modes, including it's more challenging in my opinion, new characters to the Mario universe, which is crazy. And probably the most important is it enables 4-player gameplay, which is amazingly fun and competitive. If you ever try it, I thoroughly recommend it. The game actually saw more 4-player play in my household growing up than Pokemon Puzzle League did. And I really like Pokemon Puzzle League. So Dr. Mario 64, 4-player puzzle fun.
Okay. Are you ready, Hunter?
I didn't pick Mario 64. Get over it. Hunter said go. He wasn't holding back, so let's see what he picks.
Start.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Jason.
Anytime.
A game that started late in the development of 1995 for the Super NES, under the project name Dream, was originally suggested as an action-adventure game starring a small boy named Edison who owned a wooden sword and got in trouble with a gang of pirates. With the release of the Ultra 64 on the rise, development was moved to the newest console by Nintendo. Characters were changed due to Edison being too generic, and the gameplay mechanics added more action-based elements. And they're one of the most iconic duos ever to grace the TV screen. It's in their first adventure. It's Banjo-Kazooie for the N64, released on June 29th, 1998 in North America. You play as a backpack swinging bear Banjo with his sidekick, a loudmouth insult swinging bird Kazooie. Banjo-Kazooie for the N64. Tiddly-dee.
Tiddly-dee. Wow. Banjo-Kazooie is in the house.
I should just give up now.
Finally.
No.
All right. I guess I'll go with my game. The game I chose this week was developed by Paradigm Entertainment and published by Electronic Arts in the year of 1999. Though the team previously worked on Pilot Wing 64 and Aero Fighters Assault, they decided to turn the ride from the sky to the ground with Beetle Adventure Racing. That's right, it's a racing game where you can only race as Beetles. That's right, the Volkswagen Beetle. That's Beetle Adventure Racing. Yep.
It's actually a solid game.
Yeah, I know. It's got good reviews.
The 64 had so many good racing games.
Yes, it did.
So many good racing games.
And horrible platformers.
Mario Kart 64. Yeah.
Like Banjo-Kazooie.
The collectathon, mind-numbing, boredom known as Banjo-Kazooie.
All right, Bailey. We've beat around the bush enough about collectathons. Please, I am dying to know what your true thoughts are on the subject. Dying. I'm dying over here. Somebody help me.
Let me put it this way.
Okay.
I had Banjo-Kazooie.
And?
I played through it.
And?
And someone offered to let me borrow the sequel.
Banjo-Tooie, continue.
I declined.
Ouch. Sorry to hear that.
Because it's just a big hoop to jump through. It's just... People say that some of the design decisions made in modern games are bad if they include elements that needlessly pad the experience or do not actually forward the story or artificially inflate the gameplay length. I feel like Banjo-Kazooie is kind of the masterclass on how to do that. Let's add a new little move that, although doesn't actually truly significantly affect your physical movement all that much, you now need that to access these three specific areas, which you will need to advance for just an arbitrary reason of no consequence, purely conjured up to suck more time out of your life.
Okay. Can I respond?
Absolutely.
One of the greatest games ever created, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, uses the exact same mantra. You cannot enter the Castle of Hyrule without the Master Sword. Now, you may think that the Master Sword is more powerful, meaning the enemies on the ground will take less hits to be destroyed, but the way that it's programmed are the enemies that you face afterwards have actually increased their hit points for the consequence of the Master Sword. So it's like fighting those enemies with the wooden sword. So no change has happened, but getting the Master Sword is required to continue the game.
And that's one reason that many modern serious game critics fault Nintendo for sticking to the same formulaic philosophy in designing their Zelda games, and why so many yearn for a more open, more player-enabling, more creative design theory.
A Link Between Worlds.
I hate collectathons.
It's not a collectathon.
Okay.
It is. We're getting under his skin. Hunter is so annoyed right now.
I will prove it is a collectathon because a group of ex-Rare developers are developing a game for 2014, which they have described as a Banjo-Kazooie spiritual successor, and their Kickstarter says, word for word, a Hat in Time 3D collectathon platformer.
Okay, so here is the reality of Banjo-Kazooie and why it's not a collectathon. Yes, there are a ton of things in the game that you can collect if you wish, but you are only required to collect a low amount of music notes and a low amount of jiggy pieces to be able to finish the game. You don't have to collect all the feathers. You don't have to collect all the honeycombs. You don't have to collect all the Jinjos. You don't have to do that to beat the game. It's just added gameplay to create a very warm and inducing replay value, much like Donkey Kong Country.
So I don't understand the term replay value for this, because replay value means I get to go do more of the fun thing I did previously. I get to fight more cool enemies. I get to go explore cool environments. But this is literally just me collecting more crap. that proves no use. If you like jumping, it's Hoarders, the video game.
Before Hoarders, yes. It was Hoarders, the video game, before there was Hoarders.
All right.
I'm okay with that. I'm all right.
All right.
That show sees millions and millions of viewers every episode. Yeah. Thank you. Actually makes me sound better.
It doesn't.
Nice. I'm not saying Banjo-Kazooie is a horrible game. So don't hear that from me. It's kind of the spiritual successor to Alfred Chicken, in that it's not great. It's just kind of there, and it's random, and you're a bird. I'm also hoping Norman Crusoe hears this, just because I wanted to piss him off there. He likes Alfred Chicken a lot for some reason. But also, you described it. I typed this down when you said it, Hunter. You control a backpack-swinging bear and a loud-mouthed insult-swinging bird.
Correct.
That's just weird. Like, a banjo and a kazoo would never get along. Let's be honest.
It's, you know, it's like Mario and Luigi and...
They're brothers.
No, they're not. They're not brothers.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
No.
Did you just say Mario and Luigi aren't brothers? Did you just say that Mario and Luigi aren't brothers?
Okay, because for a second there, I thought I was insane.
For a second there, I was going to ask, like, where do Wario and Luigi fit the picture? Like, are they evil clones? Are they distant cousins? Are they completely unrelated and they're kind of like copycat mimics, like the copycat serial killers that take on the similar appearance? They're not actually, like, related by blood, you know? Like, Wario could be a super twisted backstory if you think about it from that aspect. But then if it's like that, why do they play tennis together at all? Why are they so cooperative half the time and at each other's throats the other half of the time?
You have to ask Nintendo.
What kind of bird is Kazooie? Is he an orange stork?
Okay, so one, Kazooie is a girl.
Is she an orange stork?
No, I don't believe so. No.
I had no idea she was a girl. I kind of feel like a loser right now.
Yeah, she's a girl.
I'm going to confess that on social media.
That's all right. Yeah, go ahead and type that in. So as we talk about your crappy remake, Dr. Mario 64.
It's not crappy. It's
Jason,
awesome.
I got a great idea.
All right. I'm ready.
Here we go. Think of the most boring, mundane puzzle game you could possibly think of.
Banjo Kazooie.
Nobody.
Puzzle pieces everywhere.
It's just nothing but crap on top of crap.
Yeah.
There's no real puzzling to do with the game. It's more about luck.
Oh, I know.
And we make four people play it at once.
But wait. Let's shoehorn Mario in. Like, the kids like Mario, right?
How the hell am I supposed to know? I'll play it a Dreamcast.
All right, stick him in.
Awesome. What's Mario even look like?
I don't know.
That's the problem I'm having.
Let's go ask a kid.
You know what? It doesn't matter. Let's put a fat Italian in a doctor suit. Boom.
Done.
I think that sounds great. It's kind of like Sopranos.
Of course you do.
At the hospital.
No, that's
popping pills everywhere. It's like Breaking Bad meets The Sopranos. I mean,
Mario is the last person I want giving me medical advice.
Yeah, he does
Mario
not look like he can take care of himself.
Well, what do you do? Well, half of the time I'm a doctor.
Woohoo!
The other time I'm a construction worker, demolitioner. The other time I actually work in plumbing. What other jobs do I have?
He's Homer Simpson. He's had like 30-something jobs.
And who trusts Homer Simpson to do anything?
The point is, it's not your most trusted confidant in life. It's your best buddy. You can always.
I'm not
going to
let my best
him.
Buddy do surgery on me or give me drugs. Well, maybe the drugs, but
only in Canada.
He's not a surge. Public health care.
That's right.
We're really turning this all back to Canada.
How are your weed dispensers working out, Jason?
Everyone in Canada plays the banjo. That's not true at all, Hunter. You racist.
That doesn't make racist. Me racist.
That's why I said it.
Canadians aren't a race.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, that's a whole nother debate we could have right now.
No, I can't argue that.
All I'm saying is that the idea of Dr. Mario is so ridiculous. Like, here's how we fight disease. We're just going to throw pills in a bottle. Eh. You stack what, a couple on top of the virus.
That's
boom.
How modern medicine works.
You exactly throw... how modern medicine works. Exactly.
And it's, it's the most up...
It's essentially Nintendo just crapping out again and just slapping Mario on the
product. But it's fun. It's good. It's four. They haven't done four-player Dr. Mario before.
I know, but if I'm going to play a Tetris clone on the N64, I'm either going to play Tetris 64, or they did another one, Tetris Next or something.
Now, see, Jason, this is where you're kind of revealing your console ignorance, because the whole concept of Dr. Mario is it gets away from Tetris. The game mechanic is not a clone. Just because it's another puzzle game, the genre is not just everything's like Tetris. There's just as much variety within the genre as there are for RPGs or platformers. It's color-coded one piece at a time. You're not clearing by row, you're clearing by those little connections. It's very different.
I'll give you that. Like, it's actually kind of upsetting that Dr. Mario didn't take off like it should have. Like, I think Dr. Mario is a much better puzzle game than Tetris is, because it, sadly, I guess it's sad, it caters to the novice player. You know, you can get an expert player to play the game against a novice player, and it's still a fairly, I don't want to say it's fairly even, but it's, you know, that the novice player has a chance at least, whereas in Tetris, it's like, if you can't guess five pieces before, you know, there's no way you're ever going to be able to win.
See, that's one thing I like about Dr. Mario is there's a clearly defined goal. Get rid of all the viruses. Tetris, there's no real ending, which some people really dig, but I like knowing, okay, there's 199 viruses on screen. Let's do this, you know?
Yeah, well, it's counting down rather than counting up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. Just not just in video games, but like in life. If you have a counter that you know the end result is going to be zero, that's your clear-cut goal right there.
Good call, yeah. And I will concede, I'm willing to jump on the ship of opinion that says Dr. Mario might have been a more interesting franchise without Mario as a mascot needlessly tacked onto it. I'm willing to go there, but mechanically, it's a great game. It's a great design and play. Have you guys actually ever played it four player?
It's pretty amazing.
Super fun.
You know, when I'm down in Indiana, we can play it.
Valerie, make it happen. We'll do that. Valerie's actually really good at it, so I'm kind of scared.
It's any game that you can play four people at a time in front of the TV. That's what you get. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not... Yeah. I mean, Dr. Mario,
can you
yes,
Banjo-Kazooie?
Ability.
Can you play four-player Banjo-Kazooie?
No, but you can play two. And...
Not really.
You can play two. And really. The second player actually controls the enemies throughout the game.
So you could just walk the enemies away from you, making it easier?
Well, you can only control one enemy at a time, so...
Could you fight other enemies with your enemy?
Correct. No? Not feeling it?
I don't like it.
I mean, I could be driving around in a police car that's made out of Volkswagen Beetle, because that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because those Volkswagen Beetles are so fast. They're so fast.
Jason.
You soup it up. It's Herbie the Love Bug.
Jason.
Yes?
Is your game four player?
I don't know.
I'm helping you out. I'm helping you out here.
It's not.
I think it is.
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
Nope.
Mine is. That's all I'm trying to say.
They do have a death match though.
Beetle battle.
Nintendo 64 was built with four controller slots right on the machine. It was made for four-player parties.
It's true. It was. But you brought Dr. Mario, so no one came over to play.
I would have come over to play.
See, Hunter, this is why I called myself a dork. Because it's true. If you're going to pick one party game for 64, you pick Mario Party 3, Super Smash Brothers, Mario Kart 64, something like that. I picked Dr. Mario 64. I'll give you that. That's a really...
I mean, I'm still going to stick around.
That's a terrible choice.
But...
Yeah, no.
You know, that's just me. You know what? I'm going to stick around with the four-player Perfect Dark is what I'm going to stick around for.
Yes! Yes! Oh! I spent hundreds of hours playing that.
So confused about what's going on.
Right? Oh,
he got
overloaded my brain with...
Just so everybody knows, Bailey is dying, I believe.
it's a great death.
Or he's really sick. But I'll tell you what, that tie looks
fly-by-wire. I've gotten so much better at tying ties since I got this job. So much better. You would not believe how terrible I was.
Did you go to tieatie.com? Because that's what I had to do.
No, I have been there before, though.
Right, of course you have.
That's a website?
Yeah, tieatie.com. It's like tie-a-tie.
Since real-life fathers no longer take their role seriously and pass on knowledge to their sons, the internet has become a surrogate father figure to all young adult
men. It's tieatie.net.
Okay, final arguments? Because that's getting creepy.
I'll be your dad.
Are we really going to do final... Okay. It is time for final arguments.
Yeah.
Why did this episode go so quickly? Honest question.
What's going on?
Who would want to race as a beetle? Is it like a rhinoceros beetle? Because those are cool. Otherwise, the game sucks.
No,
Do the beetles
it
like
is
flying
Herbie
beetle?
The love bug.
That's the worst kind of beetle. No, it's not. If you could say anything. Yeah.
If like, you put it on your own stereo.
As beetles. Like, can I race as John Lennon? Can I run down the track as John Lennon? I don't like the guy. I'm just asking. Can you fly a yellow submarine?
What Beetle Adventure Racing was trying to do was to take a brand, which is the Volkswagen Beetle, and turn it into a Mario Kart game. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
Yeah. You say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, because it didn't work. Nobody wants to race a Volkswagen Beetle. Name one other racing game where you could race as a Volkswagen Beetle and
That's
actually
true.
Be a contender in the race.
Exactly.
I just want one.
Gran Turismo.
You cannot race as a Beetle in Gran Turismo.
You can.
Okay, can you be a contender in the car?
Turismo. Yeah. You can race as a Gran Turismo Beetle.
But can you be a contender? Can you be up there with a Ferrari and a Porsche?
Well, there's different levels of cars.
Oh, jeez, of course there is, because nobody in the world would play as a Volkswagen.
That's like comparing like street racing to like F1. There's no comparison, but they're different classes.
It's... Where did this episode go? Woo!
The only thing good about your game, Jason, is when you play as the police car Beetle and you turn your sirens on, all the rest of the cars they follow off to the side of the road. That's the only good thing about your game. But guess what? That makes the game too easy, so nobody's going to play it.
Hey, listen, a Beetle can hit like 140 miles an hour. That's plenty fast for me.
What?
I think Mario can throw a pill that fast.
Seriously?
No, the sad thing is it really is time for final arguments. Like, that's the sad... Like, I feel like we've barely scratched the surface of why your guys' games suck. Like, we've barely...
It's because there's... you do nothing but click crap.
I need more there's time this... to bash there's your this... game!
There's this enormous, untapped wellspring of stuff we could get into about Banjo-Kazooie and Beetle Adventure stupid. There's so much, but... Gosh, I mean, I didn't even mention the cool characters in Dr. Mario 64 and the son of a. You can play as Metal Mario, you know? Vampire Wario. Like, that's just weird. It's so. I don't even. Like, I hate to say it, but yeah, final arguments. Hunter, why should anyone vote for. What game did you pick again? Oh, that's right. The forgettable Banjo-Kazooie.
The only choice this week is Banjo-Kazooie.
That's actually not true. There are two other choices, thank you very much.
No, there, none of them level up to what Banjo-Kazooie has done. It's one of the most anticipated trequels ever.
Lord.
Totally. Look, just made that word up.
You said the beta name for it was Project Dream. Well, people voting for Banjo-Kazooie is something that will only happen in your dreams. Jason! Why should anyone vote for Beetlebugs on the road getting squished?
Beetlebug Racing Championship is great because it's not Banjo-Kazooie.
It has
cars. So you can run over banjos and kazooies.
Wow.
Oh, for all you car lovers out there, your clear choices.
I really hate Banjo-Kazooie. Like, with a passion.
Now, keep in mind, I just want to let the listeners know, if they haven't been listening for very long, Jason hates Mega Man. I mean, the guy hates platformers.
Like, I despise platformers.
Considering how good the Mega Man games are and how much Jason dislikes them, he really deeply...
Bailey.
What's up?
This is what you would call a low blow.
That was a low blow.
I'm just saying...
Don't bring Mega Man into this.
It is difficult for me to mathematically fathom how much Jason must dislike Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh,
it is
it's
difficult
just...
for me to even conceive.
It is a war crime.
I do not have the mind strength, the brain power, the mental capacity to understand how much Jason must truly despise Banjo. You should vote for Dr. Mario 64 because it's super fun, fast-paced, four-player puzzle game action. I know not everyone's a puzzle game fan, but it really is all around high quality. Thanks for listening. Thanks, live stream viewers, for watching. This has been One More Podcastle. Send us emails at podcast@onemorecastle.com. Follow us at One More Castle. Check onemorecastle.com for near daily updates, weekdays at least. You can follow me at Nintendo_legend. Support our free music tracks every week. I mean, it's usually a free download 98% of the time. Check those out. Submit new ones to us. There's a link at the bottom of onemorecastle.com. Suggest new ones to us. Leave comments. Vote in the poll. How about you guys? What do you have to say?
You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog.
No, you can have a blog, too. You just wade on through into the indie games.
Is IamEricM.com. We are finally finishing up the one and only Mega Man month, sadly. So we'll go back to our regularly scheduled programming next week. That's all I got.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'd like to give a shout out to Microsoft for buying and destroying Rareware Limited, thus killing the Banjo-Kazooie franchise.
And Perfect Dark.
But
boy, they made Kinect Sports.
Banjo-Kazooie did receive then, like, a high-def release on Xbox Live, so.
That's true.
That's something.
That's true.
They will never be able to release GoldenEye or Perfect Dark, so.
Or Jet Force Gemini. I really like Jet Force Gemini.
I wouldn't mind an HD remake of Donkey Kong Country. I mean, those games were great. I wouldn't mind them seeing those and what Donkey Kong Country Returns has become.
Or even some of their 8-bit era titles. Pinbot, anyone? So good.
What was it? Jet Force... No. Jet...
Gamma?
No.
Jet Ski Alpha?
Jetpack something.
Fighter plane, rocket pants, beetle, jam guitar, face, bird, harmonica?
The game's called Jetpack.
Sock, piano.
Jetpack without a K.
Hunter's being serious, right? Pack. It's actually a game. He's not kidding.
Super Hyper Jet Simulator. 99.
Tell your friends about the podcast. We like retro gaming. We love you, the listeners. And remember, listeners, last but not least at all, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.